This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Hi, everyone. It's time for another edition of Turnbuckle Trash. This edition of Trash is going to be a lot about Hell in the Cell. Coming up a little bit later on, Chris on the mat, we talk about his take on Hell in the Cell. But right now, joining us, Mr. Zane O'Mac. Zane, how you doing, my friend?
Well, you know, this time I didn't fall off the top of Hell in a Cell, so I'm feeling a lot better.
Yeah, I bet
did you know
do,
that,
man. That was one
did
year
you know ago. That there's actually been different Hell in a Cells over the years? Like, some of them have been different. Like, the one that Mankind got chokeslammed through was a shorter one. And
no, I didn't
know. Yeah, they said it wasn't as tall as the one that Shane jumped off of, and this is the first time the Hell in a Cell has been red.
Yeah, Chris mentions that. He's wondering if it's all because Stephanie McMahon loves red. Everything is red right now. So,
well,
do you think that that would cause a problem seeing it inside the arena?
I never thought about that. I don't know.
I was thinking about that watching it. Maybe
did
it
you notice something when Dolph and them were climbing up? Did you notice the little holes cut in the cell for footholds and stuff?
I certainly did.
Awesome.
It was more noticeable with that red cell.
It was. But, yeah, I saw a thing that said that the one that Mankind got chokeslammed through and stuff was shorter. And then the one that Shawn Michaels and Undertaker fought in, they said that, like, if you go back and watch the match, there's some of the moves – suplexes and stuff, Shawn Michaels' feet actually touch the top of the cell. So, but I mean, you think though, I mean, if Undertaker's, you know, what, six, almost 7 feet, and Shawn Michaels is
six nine,
over 6 feet, I mean, 12 feet tall, and they can touch the roof, so you think a 12-foot ceiling's big, but when you got two big guys like that, you know, so...
And that came into play a little bit during the first Hell in a Cell match with Randy Orton and also with Jeff Hardy.
Oh,
I don't know if you remember, there was a segment where Jeff pulled up a ladder, and then it looked like he was going to kind of straddle the ladder and jump over the ladder onto Randy Orton, and it was too short. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that for a minute. Did that match just kind of scream a little bit of a hint of Attitude Era to you?
Oh, man. I loved that match. And I didn't think I would. I thought it was the match of the night for me. It opened up the event, and I thought it was
fantastic.
When
he stuck that screwdriver in his ear, there's no damn way that can't kill, right? I mean, if you ever had – I'm sure you've had your earlobes pinched before, like, you know, like when you were a kid or something, your mom grabbed your earlobe. It hurts like hell, you know? Let's just be honest with you. I couldn't imagine having a screwdriver shoved in your earlobe and turned three or four times.
Oh, that was cringeworthy, wasn't it?
I just had to look a little bit. Dude, maybe I'm getting weak in my old age, but sometimes the blood – it's kind of getting to me in my old age. And some of these things, I'm like, wow, this is blood. Maybe I'm just not used to seeing it.
Yeah, and then seeing the welts on Randy Orton's back after the beating with the belt.
Yeah, dude.
And that cut he had on his leg.
He had something sticking out of his leg.
Yeah, right. It was a table shot, and then I think one of the wooden pieces broke off and went right into his leg.
He was eating like a stuck pig for a minute.
Uh-huh. I thought for sure they were going to stop the match to get it looked at. I really did, because that looked nasty when it happened. But they got the bleeding under control pretty quick. But Randy kept on looking at it the rest of the match. He was constantly looking at that cut on his leg.
Yeah, that was good. That was That was good. Lots of high spots in that match too. I mean, they really, really, I mean, it makes you wonder what, the thing that I think about when something like that, it's like, what do they talk about backstage? You know, does Randy and Jeff sit back there and go, all right, you know, let's steal the damn show tonight. Let's give them one hell of a match. You know, because recently his brother, Matt, gave an interview, and he talked about the woken Matt Hardy versus the broken Matt Hardy. And they asked him, it was in a podcast or something, and somebody asked him about how, you know, what the difference in the characters were. And he said, oh, you know, there were some similarities and stuff. He says, the WWE, he says, I didn't have complete and total creative control over it. He said, so, and he says, and he said that actually didn't bother him. He says that when you're in a big corporation and was shareholders and this and that, and he kind of went in and talked about all the stuff that is involved with the WWE, and that you know, it's almost impossible to have total creative control over a character. And so in a match like that, is that something that creative goes, all right, you guys, you know, we're going to have blood, we're going to have this, or you're going to have this, you know, at this point in the match, you got to stuff the screwdriver in his ear? Or I wonder if they give him a little bit of freedom when they go out there and, you know.
I think the screwdriver spot was a called spot. Yeah. I really do. As far as the welts on the back, that's just something I think that happened. I think they were calling it, but they weren't expecting to bleed like that. Yeah. And then you have the accident with the table. I mean, yeah, that was nothing they could really handle. But I do believe that earlobe spot was because he had done basically the same thing with his finger mm-hmm. on SmackDown Live. Mm-hmm. And I think they said, well, if we just turn it up and do that screwdriver. And they probably knew exactly how far to take
it. Oh, yeah.
I imagine they might have done it backstage a little bit to see where Jeff was saying, no, that's too much. You know.
Well, do you remember when Cena, when Lesnar returned right after Cena lost to The Rock, what was that, WrestleMania, was that 30 or what was that? And he fought Lesnar at the next pay-per-view, you know, and I remember seeing, you could read Cena's mouth, like when Lesnar had him in the Kimura and a couple things like that, Cena was like, dude, you're too rough, like, stop, you know, and it makes you wonder how much of that goes on too, like in the case like this Randy Orton match, if some of that stuff, they were like, okay, that's enough, you know, but they said that in that match, Lesnar, and I think I've heard that on, you know, a lot of that stuff's hearsay, but that Lesnar's rough on people in the ring. And so you hear that a lot about a lot of performers, that they're rough on people in the ring, and some people don't like going in the ring against them and stuff.
Well, a lot of times, especially if you have two performers that are, you know, the same ilk, I mean, maybe they're rough and tumble, they'll say they'll take it to a point. And if one takes it a little bit too far, the quote is they give them a receipt later in the match. They'll do something to get them back. Yeah. You know, maybe the chop to the chest, they were only supposed to be doing two or three, and they went ahead and did five. Well, that headshot with the closed fist that is actually open a little bit might be a little bit more closed mm-hmm. and a little harder than normal.
Yeah.
It's just called a receipt. And that happens in the ring quite often, but they pretty much patrol themselves most
well,
of the time.
And you then, think, too.
Of course, there are things that happen backstage, too. So.
Well, safety alone, you know, we've talked about that multiple times on the pod, about being in the ring with somebody else and having to trust them. And, you know, when I think we can talk about that. We got to talk about Raw later on. But let's go on with the next match was the women's match, right?
Yeah, Charlotte Flair against Becky Lynch.
Dude. Oh, man.
It was a good one, wasn't it?
Dude, is Becky Lynch just awesome right now, or is she just awesome?
I never really knew if she could pull off the heel character, but I think she's doing it great.
Oh.
And then the crowd is still cheering.
Yeah. Yeah, they're loving it. They're loving it. They do a good job, you know. Some of those, the Divas era is done, man. And Those women's matches are rock solid now.
But, you know, they still are beautiful women.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they're tough as nails. They're beautiful women. When Becky came out and she had on that dark wig when she was in the stands a couple weeks ago, I was going, hey, make her hair dark. She looks great as a brunette, and she looks great as a redhead. That's the thing that I like about this era of women's wrestling. They're still very feminine, but they're still going to take your head off. Mm-hmm. And I like that aspect of it. I really do.
Oh, yeah. You know, and the days of the, you know, those, I don't know, you know, the whole Divas thing and stuff, that was just...
Oh, the pillowcase matches and the lingerie matches.
Yeah,
I never liked that very much. I'm a red-blooded American male, if you know what I mean, but I wasn't. Although Kelly, oh my word.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah. By the way, the new champion is Becky Lynch, and Charlotte would not. Charlotte was trying to shake her hand and saying congratulations, and Becky wouldn't hear of it. And
which was just
on last
funny
week's
as heck, wasn't it? Which was just
I loved
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
You know, I always go back to it's great storytelling. And if you were upset at somebody because of something they did to you and you beat them, you're not going to want to shake their hand.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to bust their head open. But let's say you and I were going, you know, we went bowling and you beat me one time 250 to 96. The next time I turn around and beat you 225 to 96. And you know, oh, that was great. You did very good that time. Oh, let me shake your hand.
It was just like when, you know, Sting and Triple H, you know, and he's like, hey, get back here, you know, and then you shake hands. And it's like, oh, come on. Sting should have knocked him in the gut with a baseball bat and friggin'.
You
know?
Yeah.
It's like,
I love
that sappy love song crap, you know.
By the way, did you notice the promo for the new Marine 6 movie is out now? Yeah, it's the Miz with Becky Lynch and Shawn Michaels, and it's going to. I think it's going directly to pay per view and directly to Blu-ray. It opens up in November. Marine number 943,423.
What mattered? What does it matter? What number's in it? It's got the greatest superstar in Hollywood history in it.
Because he's awesome.
Yeah.
And he is, isn't he?
Yes.
I'm thinking about going and trying to find all the Miz, the movies, the Marine movies, so I can put them in my collection so I can watch the Miz. That's how much I really am enjoying the Miz and his work over the last couple of years. Just love him.
Freak, yeah. So what was next? Let me see what was next.
Tag match, The Shield versus McIntyre and Ziggler for the...
Yes. What,
once again, non-stop action. I don't think they ever stopped in the match for a rest hold. I really don't. It was awesome.
Oh, dude. I love Dolph Ziggler. And the Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre thing is freaking great right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. It's fantastic.
And dude, that was
just a lot of fun.
Okay, let's stop for a second. It's time for a side street, okay?
Okay.
Let's discuss Dean Ambrose's return for a moment. What are your thoughts? Okay.
Heel turn is coming soon. Heel turn is coming soon.
So, Dave, do you think a heel turn is coming soon?
Heel turn is coming soon. I really do think they're going to turn him
so
heel.
Two things. Let me interrupt you. Sorry. I just got to get this out. You know how I get.
Get your way, bro. You don't interrupt me again. Now. I'll take you down.
You can't reach me from down here. If you were in the studio, you could reach across the table
and
smack me. But you can't now, so I get to get my own way. Because I can get away with it.
Yeah, go
okay,
for it.
Okay, one thing. What are your thoughts on Dean Ambrose's physique?
Well, for somebody who's coming off an injury, he's been pumping some
iron.
He has the protein on,
and I can't decide if I don't know if I like it very much. I do, too. I liked the the lunatic fringe, man. I don't know what's going on with this super stacked, like, angry, you know, I've been taking my pre-workout, ready to pump some freaking rubber in the gym, you know. I'm like, then he's not talking. He hasn't spent any time on the mic, you know, and he's just.
Although on Raw, they did a little spot where supposedly the Shield was being arrested. Mm-hmm. And right at the very end with the sheriff there that made the Shield get that rematch with Dolph and with McIntyre, you could see Dean say, so, Sheriff, the next time I get arrested, can I call you? I like that. That was kind of more of the old wacky
Dean. Sheriff, what the name tag said on the sheriff?
Uh-uh.
It was Dean Ambrose's dad.
It was? Awesome! I didn't notice that. That's awesome.
So,
that is fantastic.
Yeah, it was Dean Ambrose's dad in real life.
Oh, I didn't notice that. That's awesome. You know, a few years ago, Hacksaw Jim Duggan was doing some promos in the ring, and his dad was a policeman also, and he made reference to getting patted down by the official in the ring, and then he said, nothing that my dad didn't ever do to me. And then he winked at the camera. That was so great.
Yeah.
So,
but, oh man, that, you know, it just seemed like that, it never stopped, you know? And, I don't know, Dolph Ziggler, he's just so good, you know? And Seth Rollins is pretty good too, but every time he does that damn buckle bomb, it just makes me cringe. I don't know.
I was wondering about that when I saw that.
I mean, Dolph did a good job of, you know, luckily he was close enough to the turnbuckle and he hit it just right and stuff. But I don't know. You know why we despise that move.
Yeah, that has something to do with Steam,
dude,
doesn't it? Yeah.
And next match, oh my gosh. Talk about a slobber knocker as well. Oh, man.
Oh, can I go back to the tag team match real quick
before
we go to the next one?
Got off on a tangent there. Sorry.
Well, we did have the winners there still with Dolph and Drew, but there was only one time during the entire match that Seth Rollins' knee was mentioned, and I thought that was fantastic. I'm so tired of hearing Michael Cole. That's his bad knee. That's his bad knee.
I'm just tired of Michael Cole, plain and simple.
Well, that. And then, yes, you were right about a slobber knocker of a match. The very next one.
Oh,
wasn't that a great physical, psychological match, Joe and AJ Styles?
Oh, dude, and that ending, oh, my gosh. Well, that was awesome. That goes back to The Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar. You know, remember when Undertaker tapped but yet pinned Brock, you know, and...
Yeah.
Oh man, this is gonna be awesome.
Yeah, with Samoa Joe actually having that Kimura lock on, and then AJ's tapping out, but Joe's shoulders are down.
Yeah,
what a great ending to a wrestling match. Chris was a little bit upset with it, I think, because he wanted a clean ending. But I said, man, that's what wrestling's about—the controversy. We love that.
Yeah, dude. I thought that was just. Oh, man. And then you know, because now he gets to use the whole, you know, Samoa Joe gets screwed out of the title and oh, man, I just, dude, and isn't for a big guy, holy crap. He is.
The man can move, can he?
Do you know who I want to see go at it? It's Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens. You know, those two.
That would be fun.
Those two, because they're. Both big like that. They both can move. Man, those two, I'll bet, could bring the house down on something. You know?
But who's going to be the heel? Who's going to be the bad guy?
Well, why can't one be bad and one be badder?
I'm a bad, bad man.
I like your style, my man.
You know, why is it always got to be heel versus face? You know, why can't it, you know? I mean, AJ's getting pretty wound up. You know, he was getting pretty wound up with this whole thing with Joe, and I love that. You know, to see AJ, because the AJ Styles heel is just, I love that. You know, and when he gets all wound up and just comes uncorked at Joe, and you know his emotions are getting the best of him, and I just love it.
Oh, it was my second favorite match of the night.
Yeah.
Of a night I thought it was really, really good.
You know, this was
AJ Styles, Samoa Joe are both two pros that know what they're doing in the ring. They can tell the story. They can be very physical, and they just look like they're killing each other.
This was one. I mean, honestly, Dave, like, I think like something like this was better than WrestleMania. You know, they like I could watch this pay-per-view again and not feel slightest about it, but I don't think I'd go back and watch WrestleMania again.
You don't want to get these hands with that little 10-year-old brat? I mean, that little boy?
No.
Get these hands. Somebody's going to get these hands.
Yeah. The next two matches. But let's focus on the first match. We don't need to get ahead of ourselves, right?
Okay.
The Miz and Maryse versus Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to say it, Dave. I just got to come right out and say it, okay? Hey, are you with me?
I'm with you.
Okay. I'm sorry, Dave, if this offends anybody, but I freaking hate the Bellas.
Don't offend me, man.
I hate the Bellas, dude. They are so annoying, and they don't know how to wrestle, you know? And I was a little bit – I thought we'd see more Maryse and – Brie going at it because, I mean, Maryse is a former Divas champion, but I wonder if they won't let her, I mean, because of her health and stuff, will they not let her take a bump or what? I was trying to figure out why did they even have this match if she couldn't even have one spot in the ring. Every time she'd get into the ring, she'd, you know, tag the Miz back in.
I think it was part of the storytelling. But Maryse did get injured, and that's basically why she retired from the ring. And I don't know if having the baby just 5 months ago played any part of it, but I thought it was more along the lines of, you know, let's just make this part of the story, letting her tell the story that she, you know, she's the heel, she doesn't do anything, but she whips in there and pulls the tights for the win. But Maryse could go when she was wrestling. She, you know, she did fairly well. I enjoyed watching
her. Well, she's a two-time Divas champion.
Yeah.
So she should be, you know, I mean, she looks like she's in excellent shape. I don't know, though.
Yeah, she is.
But I don't know. I'm kind of sick of this. For the freaking feud of the year, this has fallen a little bit flat, in my opinion. You know.
Well, yeah, I know why they did it. I mean, they were trying to set up the two reality shows against each other.
Yeah.
And frankly, the Miz and Maryse, the Miz and Mrs. on USA was so much better than the stuff that's on with the Bellas and the Total Divas and the Total Bellas, at least for what I enjoy.
Have you watched Miz and Mrs.?
I watched three of the six episodes.
What
They're still
it?
Available
what
on.
What is it like?
Funny.
Is it really?
It is funny. The Miz, you know, he plays the goofy character. He still gets out there and he does, you know, he does his heel stuff. But they're getting ready to move out of Hollywood, moving to Texas. And his wife wants this very expensive cake. And evidently the Miz watches every penny that goes through his wallet.
Really?
And he went with a less expensive cake, but he was going to have it delivered. But his dad comes in, and they're driving near the bakery for this part, getting ready for the party. And the dad says, "How much are they going to charge you to deliver this cake?" And he told him, he said, "Let's get it ourselves." And then they wreck the cake, and Miz has to go back and buy like an $8,000 cake.
Crap.
Yeah. So
you could have bought $1,000.
How much of that was set up? I don't know, but it was pretty funny. I got to admit, it was pretty funny. There wasn't any of that fake drama like they have on Total Divas, and also with the Bella Twins not getting along. And, you know, I thought where the Total Divas and Total Bellas got where it was good was when they went backstage at the events and they showed how things happened backstage, not when they were out and about acting like
misprisons and stuff.
Idiots, you know. I didn't like that part of it. But I did like the Miz and Mrs. On USA. I'm going to try to watch some more of that.
So when's Ronda Rousey going to be on Total Divas?
I think probably in the next season.
Oh, really? Is she really
going to be on it? And it's starting, I think, starting
really
soon.
Is she really
going
to be on it, though?
Probably. Really? At least a couple of times. Yeah.
Dude, okay.
But I will say this. I will say that the Daniel Bryan and Brie was better than John Cena and Nikki against the Miz and Maurice. That was pathetic two years ago. At least this one had a little bit of action to it and made sense.
And a little bit of, you know, what the classic heel stuff, grabbing the tights for the roll-up and, you know, I don't know, things like that. But okay, so I punched in, you know, while we're on the pod, I'm on the interweb, and I, you know, to see the Hell in a Cell card and the results just as we were going through this. And so I'm on this CBS Sports website, right? And they're grading each match as we go down. And so far they've been fairly close to what you and I have discussed. But this next match, they have got completely wrong. They rated the next match as an A-, and I thought this was a stupid match, and I'm –
Tell me which one you're talking about.
Next match was Raw Women's Championship, Ronda Rousey versus Alexa Bliss. You go, because I'm disgusted, okay? I'm not really disgusted. I'm just playing a part here, right?
It was better than I expected, just because of Alexa Bliss, not Ronda Rousey.
You know, and I was so sick and tired. It was like Seth Rollins' knee all over again. But Ronda Rousey's ribs. Oh, there's the ribs. Oh, can she even? Oh,
her ribs.
How did she pull that gut-wrench suplex off with those ribs? You know, it's just like, oh, my gosh. You know?
Agreed.
I was like, shut up. But I don't know, dude. I'm a little bit sour on the whole Ronda Rousey women's thing. I don't.
But you got to admit, when she comes out, that crowd goes bananas.
Yeah, and I don't. She does,
and then she smiles like, "I'm the nice little girl." Yeah. And then she gets in the ring and she gets that glare. I don't know what it is. I'm not a fan yet. Mic work is pathetic. But Alexa Bliss made that match to me, not Ronda.
Yeah.
Alexa, and I read Jim Ross actually say this. Right after the Hell in a Cell, that Alexa Bliss is the best female heel that they have had in years, that she understands the heel dynamic. She knows how to get a pop from the crowd as a heel, and I agree with good old JR on that one. The match itself was better than I was expected, but not as good
as
it should
have been. She reminds me of like a female Jake the Snake, you know, that ring psychology, the twisted, you know, that the look in her eyes of this, the, you know, you can tell that she's really serious about what's going on, you know?
Right.
But I don't know. I was a little bit frustrated with, you know, because Alexa Bliss can actually go, you know, in the ring. She can go. She does good.
Uh-huh.
You know, and all the females right now, I mean, you know, like, I thought the other night on Raw when Alicia Fox and Rousey went at it, I thought that was a better quality match. I just thought that Ronda dominated too much of the match, and I don't know why. And that last pay-per-view, you know, when Ronda won the championship, they just – it was basically a glorified squash match. They just made Alexa Bliss look weak, you know, like the only thing she has no offense. The only thing she can do is talk smack, you know. But it's like, you know, she beat what's her bucket? I'm having a brain fart, I'm sorry. The one that she took the title from.
Nia Jax.
Sorry, dude. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, she went with Nia Jax in the ring pretty good, and Nia Jax is a lot bigger and stronger than Rousey, and she actually put off some offense against her and stuff. So I don't know. I don't really care for some of the whole Ronda Rousey powerhouse thing. I don't.
Yeah, I'm not that wild about that. But there are two notes from that that match I wanted to pass along. I don't know if you heard Renee Young when they came out at the beginning of the match with Alexa Bliss and Foxy, and Foxy was dressed in that white jumpsuit of some sort with a hat. And Renee Young says she looks like David Bowie. I loved it. I laughed out loud at that one. That was hilarious. Good job for her. And then Alexa Bliss evidently did suffer some sort of arm injury in that match. And she woke up Monday morning not feeling well with her arm. And Tuesday, they were worried about possible nerve damage to that arm.
Was it?
But I haven't heard anything else about that. So they might have to be changing some of the matches.
Because that's what
coming
they had
soon.
To make. They had to on Raw with some stuff too, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
So I mean, so what are your? I mean, so CBS Sports gives it an A minus. I would give it about a C minus.
I'd say a C to C plus at the most. I thought it could have been a lot better, and I think they're probably basing that a lot on trying. Because of the crowd reaction to Ronda Rousey and the way I mean, I am so shocked that the crowd gets into her as much as they do. Because, you know, her last, two fights in Ultimate Fighting or whatever they call it, MMA, she didn't look good. Mm. And she hasn't done great in the WWE, but for some reason the crowd likes her, so more power to her. I'm just not a big fan. So,
comicbook.com is reporting that Alexa Bliss was said to be dealing with an elbow injury, one that actually caused her to lose feeling in her arm. WWE attributed the bum arm to Ronda Rousey's armbar, which may or may not be true. Bliss withdrew from the second season of the Mixed Match Challenge. Says
and Mickey James took her place, I believe. So,
but I guess
I've had an elbow injury, and I lost feeling in my hand because of it for quite a while. I broke a bone in my elbow, and I can see where that can happen.
I've been dealing with some. I don't know what it is in my elbow, but like if I lean down to try to get up, like it about sends me. Into orbit, and I've fallen back down a couple times, and I'm like, and I can't even put my elbow on to rest it on like the window in the car. I can't do that anymore. It hurts so bad sometimes. So I could imagine that those could be pretty.
But did you know that my elbow injury was caused by a professional wrestler?
Well, I know that. Didn't Ted DiBiase step on your hand or something?
Yes, Ted DiBiase did step on my hand, but. When I was a teenager, I knew a guy that was in training to do wrestling, and he lasted for all of maybe 4 months. But he was trying to show me some things, and I fell wrong, and I broke my elbow. So I say that was my wrestling injury. But Ted DiBiase Sr. did step on my hand during a match in Louisiana near Moorabil.
Real quick side note, what's going on with Sasha Banks? She's hurt too, I guess.
Yeah, she's dealing with some bumps and injuries, and
she's had an injury prone career. You think is she done or what's going to happen?
I think she'll maybe they'll give her a couple of months off to heal, and then she'll come back, or maybe she'll just kind of slow down, trying to let things heal. Mm-hmm. You know, her problem is that she's related to Snoop Dogg. That would do it every time.
Oh yeah, so. No kidding. That would make me not want to get out of bed either.
Not a fan of Snoop Dogg.
Is he even relevant anymore?
More relevant than you care to know.
Is it?
He's hosted game shows on TBS.
Is he still Snoop Dogg, or is he like just Snoop now? Because doesn't he change his name every? It was Snoop.
No, that's P.
Well,
Diddy.
It was Snoop Doggy Dogg. Then it was Snoop Dogg, and now isn't it just Snoop?
I do like some of his stuff, but I'm not a big fan.
Murder was the case that they gave me. Dear God, I wonder how they saved me. Like that.
I don't know. Rolling down the street,
smoking Nando, sipping on gin and juice, laid back.
You know, he did, on TBS, he did a revival of a game show, The Joker's Wild. And then he also has hosted a cooking show with Martha Stewart. in the last couple of seasons.
You know, he knows a lot about, what does he say? He says, this is Alabama creeping bean as opposed to Georgia creeping bean. They say, oh, you know a lot about golf? I know even more about grass.
Yeah, he knows a little bit about grass, yeah.
So...
yeah. But get back into the world of wrestling here, guy.
Well, Snoop did. He was, didn't he? He's been a celebrity guest host on Raw before.
Oh, yeah. He might even be in the Hall of Fame.
I don't know. Maybe he is. So, last but not least, the main event, Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cell.
Braun versus... Roman.
A monster against a dog.
Yeah, sure.
What'd you think?
I don't know. I thought they drug it out for way too long.
But I did like it when Braun yelled out in the middle of the Hell in a Cell match. He says, stay down, you moron.
Yeah. There was some cool spots in it. And there was some spots that were kind of like when Roman Reigns goes... running around the ring, you know, and he just runs right smack into the, he's like I'm going to go for a little sprint real quick, and then wham, you know.
Wasn't that the one where Braun picked up those stairs and just clocked him?
It's like, oh, hold on, guys. I got to get my laps in real quick. I'm going to go for a sprint around the ring. And then it's like...
which way did he go, George? Which way did he go?
This is like, he's like, I'm going to get him. Get back here. Thump. Right in the face. Like,
stay down, you moron.
One of the announcers is like, oh, Roman's got diamond plate imprints on his head now, or something like that. Yes, he
loved
does.
It.
On the steel diamond plate aluminum steps. Those steel steps, it's like if those things were steel, Braun would have a hard time even lifting them.
So, what did you think about the ending with the return of that guy? Be honest.
I mean, it was okay, I guess. I mean, it was kind of fun. I mean, you know, I'm glad they didn't announce it or that it was still kind of unexpected, but... I'm not a Brock fan, so I don't know. I was like, I guess did he finalize his deal with the UFC? And there's no doubt in my mind that he'll win the title back, and they're gonna use that publicity thing to death, you know, of him being a UFC champion and a WWE champion, you know. So I gotta tell you. Real quick, while we're talking about UFC, when last time I was up in Cache Valley, a couple of my old friends from my old work at USU, they invited me over to one of the UFC fights. It was just a lower card one. It wasn't a big – it was still on pay-per-view, but it didn't have any real big names in it. And they were advertising for that Conor McGregor fight. And I don't know – I don't keep up on UFC, so I don't know who Conor McGregor is fighting, but it was – it was the one where they, like, he was dissing his buddies or whatever, and so they went and found the guy on the street, and they, like, broke the window in the bus, and, like, they were going to beat this guy up. And my friend Vinny goes, he says, because for, you know, when I worked at USU, they all used to make fun of me for being a professional wrestling fan. They were like, oh, MMA is where it's at, you know, and I says, you guys, I says, there's no difference. Says there's no difference. I says the only difference between MMA between UFC and WWE is a little bit more acrobats and some of the hits land. I was like, it's all storytelling, it's all hype, it's all, you know. And Vinny goes, when this commercial comes on between, you know, Conor McGregor and this other guy, he's like, I've come to the realization that you're right. He says this is all. It's all freaking smoke and mirrors and, like, storytelling and, you know. I was like, I told you, dude, it's all about entertainment. You know?
Let's give him a big nanny nanny boo boo. I mean,
yeah, it's like,
we were right, you were wrong, we were right.
I don't know, dude. Who knows if the I mean, I know there's no doubt in my mind that those guys are absolute wonderful athletes. I'm not trying to discredit anybody at all. I'm just saying that it's all about entertainment, man. Whether it's predetermined, whether the punches really land, whatever it is, you're being entertained. So let's just cut to the chase and say that, you know, same with boxing and all this crap, you know, even NASCAR, even all these other things, you know, they, you know, boxing, they get in each other's face at the weigh-in and, you know, somebody might sneak a quick one in or, you know, it's always about stirring the pot and getting the views and getting the clicks on the interweb and, you know, getting the likes on the Facebook and, you know, it's all the same.
That's all it is, man. It's all entertainment. It's all what floats your boat, isn't it?
Exactly, dude.
One quick question.
Shoot.
You had a friend that was, you were posting some stuff on Facebook and also Instagram of pictures that he was taking in San Antonio that he worked the Hell in the Cell event.
Let's talk about, so my friend Bobby Thiemann is the video display engineer for AT&T Stadium in San Antonio, Texas. So I used to work with Bobby at Yesco Electronics. He's a wonderful friend of mine, an excellent, excellent human being. And Bobby was offered a job in San Antonio with the Spurs, basically. They offered to move his family down there. They gave him a huge raise. And so he works all of the events. A large portion of the events, make sure the displays are all going, it fixes all the stuff going on in the background, make sure the cameras are all hooked up to the display right, and so he's got quite a little thing. And so he called me a couple days before Hell in a Cell and said, hey, he says, there's something coming up this weekend. And he's not a wrestling fan at all. He says, it's a WWE, it's called Hell in a Cell. I was like, what? He says, yeah. He says, I'll see if I can get you some pictures and stuff. So he took some pictures of the cell from up on the catwalk, and he took some pictures of the ring. And so he was backstage. He saw a lot of the performers. He said he got to meet a couple of them.
We got to get this guy on the podcast.
Absolutely.
With us.
I will do that. I will see. And I'm working real hard to get the banner. He says there's like a 50-foot banner for Hell in a Cell. And I was like, I need it, dude. I have got to have that in my garage.
Can I just go up and touch it and roll in it?
So I've been working him pretty hard.
In my naked body all over it.
I've been working him hard for this, for one of the banners from Hell in a Cell. And so we'll see if he comes through or not. I wouldn't, if he can't come through, it's okay. You know, he's not like,
hey, but guy, if you can just do an interview with him yourself, do that. And we'll put it on to the next podcast. And, you know, I'd love to talk to him too, but
we can do that.
If it just works out, you can just do it. You just go ahead and do that, man.
We can do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was cool to see those pictures. He texted me those pictures. And so I put them online real quick.
And you sent me a few of them, just making me jealous. Yeah.
That would be cool. You know, that's stuff that you don't get to see very often, you know. But real quick, I want to talk. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I kind of interrupted you on the final match. What did you, I guess, rewind back to that? Tell me what you thought of it.
Well, I'm not a Lesnar fan. You know that. But I didn't mind it. I thought it was okay. The only thing was when Heyman's screaming out, give me the keys, give me the keys, give me the keys, give me the keys, and then Lesnar kicks in the door. Yeah, uh-huh, mm-hmm. Right. It's chained. Uh-huh, yeah, mm-hmm. Right. You know, sometimes I know you have to suspend belief sometimes, but every once in a while you just go, it's like Braun Strowman lifting that ambulance. Mm-hmm. You just go, I don't think so, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't mind it.
The surprise factor was, you know, mean, I would have rather seen like John Cena or something. That would have been cool. Heel turn John Cena. John Cena comes out. Wouldn't that be cool if John Cena comes out with Paul Heyman? My new client, John Cena. You can't see him.
You can't see him at all. I'm going to do all the talking, not John.
So, but John wasn't at a couple of the past events, SummerSlam and all that, because he's been filming a movie in China.
Well, he's scheduled to be, you know, of course they got to give every fetching detail for their super. What's the deal with this super showdown?
Super showdown.
What's the deal with that? What's so special about that?
Money. They got an opportunity to make a lot of money. That's all it is, money.
Well, did you see that they're doing another one of those, the Sheik's birthday parties again? They're already advertising for that.
Yep, that's going to, and that's where it's going to be a three-way match between Strowman, Reigns, and Brock.
So they're not fighting at Super Showdown?
No, not at that one. That's the main event of that one's going to be The Undertaker against Triple H. Yeah, and I think there's going to be a six-man tag with The Shield against Dolph, maybe Baron Corbin and Drew.
Yeah.
I think that's
John Cena, Bobby Lashley.
And then Bobby Lashley's going to be there with John Cena as his partner, taking on Elias.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's who. Where was he during Hell in the Cell?
In China.
No, still filming. No. Where was the man that can do it all? Even wrote this song on a piano just for you. There's nothing he can't do.
Dude.
Did you listen to the Elias album, dude?
Yes, I did.
Did you watch the documentary on the network?
I've watched parts of it. I haven't watched the whole thing yet.
It's so awesome, dude.
Can I tell my story about Elias real quick? I think I texted you real quick. I want to tell everyone else. I was having breakfast in Laughlin, Nevada at the Aquarius, and they have their little sound going on, the little music going on, and there was a guitar solo at the beginning of a song. I think it was by Darius Rucker, but there's like this guitar picking, you know, acoustic guitar picking, and all I could think of was, who wants to walk with Elias? And I wanted to stand up in the hotel, but I didn't. I think I made my wife happy that I didn't do that this time.
I would have probably embarrassed my wife.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah, I missed it.
Hey, let's take a quick break, because I want to talk to you about just a few little things, and I know you wanted to talk to me about one that occurred on Raw, but we've got a lot of news from the wrestling industry that we need to talk about, and we'll just come right back after this, and we'll talk more on Turnbuckle Trash. How about that, Zane?
Absolutely.